or their management.
The following program is paid for by Barbara Arnwine.
The topics, views, and opinions expressed on the air and via All Igniting Change with Barbara Arnwine, platforms by host Barbara Arnwine Esquire, guests, and supporters are their own and are independent of any organization, entity. Nothing said on the show or any of its platforms constitutes a client-attorney relationship or serves as legal advice, counsel. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to Igniting Change, its platforms, or the show's host. It's time now for Igniting Change, a weekly provocative and empowering program where you, the listener, can ignite change. Now here's your host, Barbara Arnwine. Get up, stand up.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Igniting Change. Oh, we got a great show for you today because we're talking about important issues. Are you vote ready? We're about to have the closure of voter registration deadlines coming up next Monday in over 15 to 20 states. Are you ready, folks? We are going to also talk about Cincinnati and about the great programming we had in Cincinnati. We got some of those amazing leaders with us. We're going to talk about that. But our show, the predominant theme of our show today is looking at the hate crime. Why no prosecution? What in the world happened in Gettysburg? We're going to talk about that hate crime and what's happening on these college campuses and why isn't our society ready to handle those matters. But before we get into that, you know I got to bring up my mighty, mighty co-host who actually has developed most of today's show. I'm so grateful to him because as a former prosecutor, he definitely understands these hate crime issues so very well. You know who I'm talking about, the chair of the board, one of the lawyers, one of the most innovative lawyers in the country, none other than Daryl D. Jones. Hey, Daryl.
Hey, Barbara. It must be Tuesday. It must be noon Eastern Standard Time because we're talking about igniting change. But, Barbara, my goodness, we're talking about igniting all kinds of change today on this show. Now, first, let me say welcome to everyone to Fannie Lou Hamer Week. This is Fannie Lou Hamer Week. Fannie Lou Hamer's birthday is this week. And most importantly, all week long, we're going to be emphasizing to people the importance of checking your voting registration status. Go to vote.org or vote411.org and check your status. Be certain that you haven't been purged, removed, that is, from the voter rolls. That's so important to do. But, Barbara, as you've indicated, today's show is just going to be incredible. For those that did not know we were in Cincinnati, you're going to find out what the fire was like in Cincinnati as we went around to a couple of locations with some of the local organizers there to register folks to vote. And then, Barbara, as you've indicated, we're going to turn to Gettysburg College and what's happening there with the hate crime, with the what we're calling this this show today, no prosecution. Black students' chest carved with an N-word? What? What you talking about?
I can't wait to
dig into that part.
All right, now. That's amazing. Well, to start off the show, we have two amazing guests. I am so happy to welcome back to Igniting Change the amazing, just one of the best leaders I've ever met. Out of Cincinnati. I'm talking about Karen Rosby. Hey, Karen, how are you? All right. So Karen Rosby is not with us. Okay. The other person I want to check on is Jamise with us. Okay. All right.
Okay.
Well,
it sounds like Jamise is with us then. Is that Jamise? Are you with us, Jamise? Okay. Jamise, if you're there, you're on mute.
All right.
But Barbara, you know, Cincinnati was something. I mean, just incredible.
Right.
You know, TJC
right. Hit
the ground with the I'll Rise and Vote concert series and activation. And wow, Barbara, I mean, we had a chance to go to two of the unhoused shelters, right? One for families and the other for men. It was just incredible, Barbara.
Yes, Daryl.
Hello?
And it says, hi, who is this?
This is Jamie's. Yes.
Hey, Jamie's. There you are. There you are. Well, we were just talking about your amazing city and that turnout. Whoa, what a great day we had with everyone on Saturday. And everybody, I want you to understand, we are celebrating not only the fact that people came out to learn about the right to vote, but they did it in the midst of a horrible rainstorm. And after 2 days of just horrible rain, but they still were there. So we want to talk about what we were able to do. Jamie's, as the head of the Cincinnati Pan-Hellenic Council, do you want to tell people about your group and how it became involved in this work and why people need to know more about the social justice side of the Divine Nine?
Yes, thank you, Barbara. So I am the current president of the National Panel of the Council of Greater Cincinnati, and for also known as the Divine Nine. We consist of nine organizations, which are five fraternities and four sororities. As far as this work goes, voter registration, community, empowering the people, this is something that has been part of the fiber of each organization since its establishment. You know, these are some of the principles that we are founded on, just making sure that we get a voice, that we're fighting for freedom. So, you know, we're right at home with doing things like this, and we're always active in our community. So this was definitely a great event for us to be a part of.
Yes. And Daryl, what people may not know is that what was unique about this activation in Cincinnati is that we focused on a community that most people never even think of, making sure they're registered and vote, and that is the homeless and unhoused community. As you said, Daryl, we went to two shelters and were able to pull off this amazing programming. And what people don't understand is that only of the millions of unhoused people in this country, an estimated 3.5 million, only 10% are registered to vote. The majority of these adults who are absolutely eligible to vote don't vote. Why was it important, Jamie's, that we were focused on this community in particular, the homeless, unhoused community?
So just to reiterate what you've already stated, Barbara, this is one of those communities that people don't tend to focus on. And outside of that, this particular community, for some reason, isn't often told that they still have rights. You know,
right.
You're still a person. You still can vote. Your situation doesn't determine your status. So they had to be reminded of that. And this activation, the I'll Rise and Vote initiative that you guys are putting on, was a great opportunity to get in there and give them back their voice and to remind them that they have the right to go and vote and be the change and be part of the change they want to see to help their situations.
Well, and you're absolutely right there, Jimmy. You know, one of the things that we say as we're going around on this I'll Rise and Vote tour and activation around the country, as a matter of fact, folks, if you're near Pittsburgh, get ready. We're headed there this weekend with the I'll Rise and Vote. But one of the things that we say, because we're with the National Coalition for Homelessness, that's one of our national partners, Jamie. One of the things we love to say is just because you lose your home doesn't mean you lose your vote. And it's so important for those that are unhoused to recognize that they have the opportunity to vote, that they have the opportunity to vote for people that can change the laws in the cities and the counties in which they find themselves, so that, you know, so that they can put people in place that will be more you know, in line and open to helping them out and putting policies in place that help them out. But could you share with our listeners that are listening, you know, what are the things, in addition to registering the folks that we registered to vote at the two housing shelters, as well as that went to terrorist homes, we also provided food. Could you share with the folks what the environment was like with the folks and the food trucks and the information that was being shared?
Oh, most definitely. So I know to the listeners who were listening last week, you know, Daryl was adamant about making sure that this event was a party. And I must say, Daryl, with all of the planning, I don't think we disappointed, even in the midst of the storm. You know, there was DJs at every event, so we had the music. There was food, like unlimited food provided to individuals who engaged in the event. As a matter of fact, you know, we had food trucks at, you know, the two shelters, and we sold out at both locations. And even at the men's center, they had seconds and thirds. And I think people thoroughly enjoyed themselves. You know, there was food. There was the DJs. We engaged and partied with them. They had a great opportunity to just have one-on-one discussions, to get swag. You know, there was candy bags for the kids, you know, educational material. So I really feel that people left whole and happy.
But wait a minute, Barbara, wait a minute. So she's saying that I created the party atmosphere. Well, you know, let me just be clear, because, Barbara, you were there too. If I remember correctly, when we were at that family counseling center, I believe there was one Janice that was leading the two-step and the slide and all this cha-cha that was going on with the party.
I saw some boogie-woogie. I saw some boogie-down. I saw a whole lot of stuff going down. I mean, I was told to play a part, and, you know, I just came here, and, you know, I was following my marching orders, you know, so let's just say I understood. We're going to leave it there.
Well, I want to say it was so beautiful to watch families in shelter house, and to watch the men at shelter house, to watch the families at Bethany House, stop by and say, help me check my voter registration, and they have the Divine Nine doing that for them. People said, I want to register. And folks, yes, we register people, folks. We register people at every single location. We ended up checking hundreds of voter registrations. My favorite of all the moments, Daryl and Jamise, was when we were at Winton Terrace, and there was a number of 18-year-olds. I was really surprised. Mm-hmm. The word had gotten out to the 18-year-olds to come and register to vote. And these were first-time voters. And they showed up. And I was just so thrilled. But I also was, my heart, you know, was just moved to see the children who were marching in the streets saying that enough is enough. I want to grow up, about the violence in their community, and tying that naturally to the vote while they were walking around with their protect our vote signs. It was moving, was it not, Daryl and Jamie?
Oh, it was, Barbara. It was incredibly moving. And I tell you, you know, the other part, Barbara, that we were able to do, and Jamie, you know, I know you wanted to weigh in. The other part that was really moving, I thought, is that at each of the locations we went to, there were people that came up and I know spoke to me about being returning citizens and restoring their rights to vote and could they vote. That was part of the educational process that we really wanted to get to out to the public, and we were successful in doing that. But my goodness, Barbara, Winton Terrace and the march with the kids, I agree with you, was just incredible. Jamise, what were your thoughts?
Yes, I thought this was a beautiful thing to be a part of and a witness. The young people had so much passion and power in their rally cries. You could see how empowering they were. You know, they marched up the housing development and came back down as they were chanting. One specific chant that stood out for me was just the "I want to grow up," you know, part of the anti-violence march. The "I want to grow up," and they said that was so much passion. There was just so much purity from their viewpoint. Like, we don't have much power in voting. We don't have the power to take your guns from you. But from their vantage point, they purely